Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechus Ksubis Daf Pei Vav, the ninth parak Hakotz V'Ishto, and the 1,000th blot in this Daf Yomi Machzor. The Zichu Masechus Ksubis program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three times we're going to focus on, number one, Shmuel said, "Hamocher shtar chovu chaveru v'chazu umachlo machlo." If a creditor sells a loan document to another, and afterwards he forgives the debt is forgiven, and the buyer of the shtar can no longer collect it. Rashi explains on the previous daf that the borrower can refuse to pay on the grounds that he's not his litigant. But afil yorish machlo. Moreover, after the seller's death, even his heir can forgive the debt. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua said, "V'ipikeachu mekarkesh leizuze v'kazav leishtar b'shme." If the purchaser of the debt is clever, he should rattle some coins in front of him, meaning offer the borrower some money before the seller forgives the loan, and have the borrower write a new shtar in his own name. Rush explains that this prevents the lender and debtor from depriving the purchaser of the loan by forgiving it, since he has a direct claim now against the debtor. Amemar said, "Man de din dinah de garmi magbe made the meishtar ma'alya." The one who judges the din of garmi, which Rush explains, is the view that one is chayav for causing a loss to another even without physically damaging his property, will make the seller pay on account of voiding the shtar the value within the shtar, whereas the one who does not judge the din of garmi will make the seller pay the value the paper is written on, which is another way of saying he pays nothing. Point number two, Rav Kahana said to Rav Papa, according to your opinion, the prius bal chov mitzvah, that paying a creditor is merely a mitzvah, what is the law if the debtor says he does not want to do the mitzvah? Rav Papa holds that midaraisa, a debtor's properties are not automatically mortgaged to his creditor. Rather, as Rashi explains, the debtor is obligated to pay his creditor only because the Torah obligates him to keep his word. Rav Papa replied that we learn in a braisa, in what regard is this ruling? That one receives 40 lashes for violating a deraisa, but mitzvahs los ase, in regard to violating a negative mitzvah. But with regard to mitzvahs ase, such as where we tell someone make a sukkah and he doesn't make one, or make a lulav and he doesn't make one, makinoso ad shetetze nafsha, we beat him until his soul leaves. Rashi explains that we do not let him violate the mitzvah, but beat him while he still has time to fulfill it. Similarly, we force the debtor to fulfill the mitzvah to repay the loan. The Rishonim explained that we coerce him by confiscating the amount he owes. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Hamoshis as ishto chenvanis o shemina apitropia. If one sets up his wife as a storekeeper, or he appointed her as an administrator of his business, harzemashbia kozman shiyirza, he may impose an oath on her whatever he wants. Rabbi Eliezer says, afil al pilkva isasa, even concerning her spindle or her dough, he may impose an oath. The Gemara asks, if Rabbi Eliezer said he may impose an oath regarding her spindle or dough as a gilgul shvua, an oath that is rolled onto another oath but cannot be made independently, or even l'chadchila, that a person could make such an oath initially. The Gemara sought to bring a proof from a braisa where they said to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein adam daim nachish bekfifa, a person cannot live with a snake in a basket. Now it makes sense that they said this if he holds that he can make her swear l'chadchila, but if not, why should it bother her? The Gemara answers that even as part of a gilgul shvua, she could say, since you check after me to such an extent, I'm unable to live with you. The Gemara brings another braisa to prove that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the oath can be made l'chadchila. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Shmuel said, "Hamocher shtar chovu chaveru v'chazu machlo machlo." If a creditor sells a loan document to another, and afterwards he forgives the debt is forgiven and the buyer of the shtar can no longer collect it. Rush explains on the previous daf that the borrower can refuse to pay on the grounds that he's not his litigant. But afil yorish machlo. Moreover, after the seller's death, even his heir can forgive the debt. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua said, "V'ipikeachu mekarkesh leizuze v'kazav leishtar b'shme." If the purchaser of the debt is clever, he should rattle some coins in front of him, meaning offer the borrower some money before the seller forgives the loan, and have the borrower write a new shtar in his own name. Rush explains that this prevents the lender and debtor from depriving the purchaser of the loan by forgiving it, since he has a direct claim now against the debtor. Amemar said, "Man de din dinah de garmi magbe made the meishtar ma'alya." The one who judges the din of garmi, which Rashi explains, is the view that one is chayav for causing a loss to another even without physically damaging his property, will make the seller pay on account of voiding the shtar the value within the shtar, whereas the one who does not judge the din of garmi will make the seller pay the value the paper is written on, which is another way of saying he pays nothing. Point number two, Rav Kahana said to Rav Papa, according to your opinion, the prius bal chov mitzvah, that paying a creditor is merely a mitzvah, what is the law if the debtor says he does not want to do the mitzvah? Rav Papa holds that midaraisa, a debtor's properties are not automatically mortgaged to his creditor. Rather, as Rashi explains, the debtor is obligated to pay his creditor only because the Torah obligates him to keep his word. Rav Papa replied that we learned in a braisa, in what regard is this ruling? That one receives 40 lashes for violating a deraisa, but mitzvahs los haseh, in regard to violating a negative mitzvah. But with regard to mitzvahs aseh, such as where we tell someone make a sukkah, and he doesn't make one, or make a lulav, and he doesn't make one, makinoso ad shetetzei nafsha, we beat him until his soul leaves. Rashi explains that we do not let him violate the mitzvah, but beat him while he still has time to fulfill it. Similarly, we force the debtor to fulfill the mitzvah to repay the loan. The Rishonim explained that we coerce him by confiscating the amount he owes. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Hamoshis as ishto chenvanis o shemina apitropia. If one sets up his wife as a storekeeper, or he appointed her as an administrator of his business, harzimashbia kozman shiirza, he may impose an oath on her whatever he wants. Rabbi Eliezer says, afil al pilkva isasa, even concerning her spindle or her dough, he may impose an oath. The Gemara asks if Rabbi Eliezer said he may impose an oath regarding her spindle or dough as a gilgal shvua, an oath that is rolled onto another oath but cannot be made independently, or even l'chadchila, that a person could make such an oath initially. The Gemara sought to bring a proof from a braisa where they said to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein adam daim nachish bekfifa, a person cannot live with a snake in a basket. Now, it makes sense that they said this if he holds that he can make her swear l'chadchila, but if not, why should it bother her? The Gemara answers that even as part of a gilgal shvua, she could say, since you check after me to such an extent, I'm unable to live with you. The Gemara brings another braisa to prove that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the oath can be made l'chadchila. All right, so now we go to a simon daf pei vav, and a standard simon is police. Police. So here goes. The debt police, who were trying to calm down an irate purchaser of a loan that the lender subsequently forgave, telling him that paying back a loan is merely a mitzvah, rushed over to deal with a domestic dispute where a wife was calling her husband a snake for making her take a shavua lechadchila on her spindle and dough. Once again, in slow motion. The debt police. Police. That must mean we're on daf pei vav. The debt police who were trying to calm down an irate purchaser of a loan that the lender subsequently forgave, which reminds us, Shmuel said, if a creditor sells a loan document to another and afterwards he forgives the debt is forgiven and the buyer of the shtar can no longer collect it. But feel your shmachu, moreover, after the seller's death, even his heir can forgive the debt. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Yeshua said that if the purchaser of the debt is a pikeach, if he's clever, he should offer the borrower some money before the seller forgives the loan and have the borrower write a new shtar in his own name. Rashi explains that this prevents the lender and debtor from depriving the purchaser of the loan by forgiving it, since he has a direct claim now against the debtor. So the debt police who are trying to calm down an irate purchaser of a loan that the lender subsequently forgave, telling him that paying back a loan is merely a mitzvah, which reminds Rav Kapuna said to Rav Papa, according to your opinion, that prius bal chov mitzvah, that paying a creditor is merely a mitzvah, what is the law if the debtor says he does not want to do the mitzvah? Rav Papa holds that midaraisa, a debtor's properties are not automatically mortgaged to his creditor. Rather, as Rashi explains, the debtor is obligated to pay his creditor only because the Torah obligates him to keep his word. Rav Papa brought a braisa regarding giving malchus to teach that we force the debtor to fulfill the mitzvah to repay the loan, meaning that we coerce him by confiscating the amount he owes. So the debt police were trying to calm down an irate purchaser of a loan that the lender subsequently forgave, telling him that paying back a loan is merely a mitzvah, rushed over to deal with a domestic dispute where a wife is calling her husband a snake for making her take a shvua lechadchila on her spindle and dough, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hamoshiv as ishto chenvanis o shemina apitropia. If one sets up his wife as a storekeeper or he appointed her as an administrator of his business, harzeh mashpia kozman shiirza, he may impose an oath on her whenever he wants. Rabbi Eliezer says, afil al pilkva isasa, even concerning her spindle or her dough, he may impose an oath. Gemara asks, if Rabbi Eliezer said he may impose an oath regarding her spindle or dough as a gilgal shvua, an oath that's rolled onto another oath but cannot be made independently, or even a chedchila, that a person could make such an oath. The Gemara brings a braisa to prove that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the oath can be made with chedchila. So once again, the debt police were trying to calm down an irate purchaser of a loan that the lender subsequently forgave, telling him that paying back a loan is merely a mitzvah, rushed over to deal with a domestic dispute where a wife was calling her husband a snake for making her take a shvua lechadchila on her spindle and dough. Mazel tov, everyone, for winning the 1,000th siman that we made for Shas, helping us remember a total of 3,000 topics organized in our mind, daf by daf, from our beginning daf base and brachas over 2.5 years ago to now reaching daf pei and ksubas, 1,000 simanim for 1,000 days straight. May you continue to go machai ochai and take pleasure that you're part of this historic effort to transform the daf yomi experience and raise the bar where lomdei daf yomi are able to remember the daf day, after weeks, after months, and after years. All right, so now it's time for four blah bah chazara. Daf Pei Beis. So the Simmer Daf Pei Beis is peanut butter. So here goes. The peanut butter loving Yavam, peanut butter, that must be more Daf Pei Beis. The peanut butter loving Yavam, who told his suspicious younger brother that he could divide his deceased brother's estate from now, which reminds us, an incident is brought with two brothers in Mas Machasya, where a distrustful younger brother wanted to give the Yavam a get in order to prevent the Yavam from acquiring the whole estate, as he had heard that Rav Yosef ruled that an offer to split the estate would not be effective. The Yavam told him, Ibais, Plugluk, Mahashta, if you want, divide the estate for yourself from now. The Yavam reasoned that since he could divide the estate after doing Yibum, it would also be effective to have his brother make a kinyan now with the intention to only acquire the estate after Yibum. Marba Ravashi said it's not in the Yavam's power to split the estate before the Yibum is performed. So the peanut butter loving Yavam, who told his suspicious younger brother that he could divide his deceased brother's estate from now, divorces Yavam with a get because she messed up his peanut butter sandwiches and then ended up remarrying her, which reminds us, the Mishnah had said that Knasa Hari Ki Ishto, if the Yavam married the Yavama, she is considered his full wife. Rabbi Yosef Rebekhina said that the Mishnah is coming to teach Shemagarshab a get umachzira, that he may divorce with a get and take her back as a wife. The Gemara explains why we might have thought that he has to do chalitza with her and would not be permitted to take her back as a wife. So the peanut butter loving Yavam, who told his suspicious younger brother that he could divide his deceased brother's estate from now, divorces Yavam with a get because she messed up his peanut butter sandwiches and then ended up remarrying her, writing in the Ksuba that all his possessions, including his peanut farm, are pledged to her Kasuba. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains why Shem ben Shatach instituted that the husband write to his wife, Kol nechasai achrayin al Kasuba sa, all my possessions are pledged to her Kasuba. Rashi explains that this was an effective deterrent to divorce. Daf Pei Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The pogo stick champ, pogo stick, that must be on Daf Pei Gimel. The pogo stick champ who wrote to his wife, Dinu Dvarim Einim Nechasayich, would jump high to eat the apples right off the tree, which reminds us, the opening mission of the ninth parak states, Hakosevu Ishto Dinu Dvarim Einim Nechasayich, if one writes to his wife, I have no claim or argument with respect to your property, referring to her Nixim Elug, Aiza Ocho Peros Bechayel Vimesa Yorsha, he may nevertheless eat the produce during her lifetime, and if she dies, he inherits it. If so, why did he write, I have no claim or argument with respect to your property? She makravanasna kayim. So that if she sold it or gave it away, the transaction stands. So the pogo stick champ who wrote to his wife, Dinu dvarim einim nechasayich, would jump high to eat the apples right off the tree, telling the rabbis down below he didn't want to avail himself of their takanas chachamim, which reminds us, the word challenges whether making such a declaration is effective, for it was taught in a brisa. If one makes a similar statement to his friend, who is a partner in owning a field, he hasn't said anything. Rashi explains that these statements are not an expression that he's giving the field to his partner as a gift. So why should the husband's declaration work? The Gemara answers the husband's waiver is effective because of Rabba Oda Arusa, when he writes to her while she's still in Arusa. And this is in accordance with what Rava said, Ha'omre e'ibshe b'tekanis chachamim k'gonzo shomin lo. If one says, I do not wish to avail myself of a rabbinic tekana made for my benefit, such as this, we listen to him, for it doesn't apply where the beneficiary refuses it. So the pogo stick champ who wrote to his wife, Dinu dvarim einim nechasayich, would jump high to eat the apples right off the tree, telling the rabbis down below he did not want to avail himself of their takanas chachamim, until he got a stomach ache from eating this way, and eventually wrote, I have no claim but pero peros en adolam. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda says the husband always retains rights to consume the peros of the peros, the produce of the produce, unless he writes to her, I have no claim or argument in your property or its produce, uba pero perosen adolam, or to the produce of its produce to infinity. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yehuda included in the husband's renunciation both the phrase, the produce of the produce, and to infinity, which seems redundant, and the Gemara brings three possible ways of understanding the statement. Daf Pei Dalad, so the Simmer Daf Pei Dalad is a launch pad. So here goes. The astronaut who kept the deposit and loan given to him in his rocket ship on his launch pad, that must be on Daf Pei Dalad. The astronaut who kept the deposit and loan given to him in his rocket ship on his launch pad was surrounded by his deceased creditor's wife, Balchov and Yorshin, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Misha Meisva Niach Isha Ubalchov Yorshin, if someone died and left a wife, a creditor, and heirs, all making claims on his estate, and he had a deposit and a loan in the possession of others, Rabbi Tarfon says, Yinasin Lokoshal Shabahen, they shall be given to the weakest among them. Rabbi Kiva says, Eimarachmin Badin, we're not merciful in deciding the halacha, rather the property should be given to the Yorshin, for all of them referring to the widow and the Balchov required an oath before they can collect, whereas the Yorshin do not require an oath. The Gemara explains why the Mishnah mentioned both cases of a deposit and a loan. So the astronaut who kept the deposit and loan given to him in his rocket ship on his launch pad was surrounded by his deceased creditor's wife, Balkhov and Yorshin, who were fighting over who was the weakest to collect. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks what Rabbi Tarfon means that the property is given l'koshel shebehen, to the weakest among them. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina said l'koshel shebaraya, it's given to the one with the weakest proof, which is the one who has the most recently dated shtar, since he cannot collect from properties that were sold before the date of the shtar. And Rabbi Yochanan said l'ksubas isha mishum chinah, it's designated to the woman's ksuba because of favor. Rashi explains that she's considered weaker because it's not a woman's way to investigate what were the holdings of the deceased and find land from which to collect. So the astronaut who kept the deposit and loan given to him in his rocket ship on his launch pad was surrounded by his deceased creditor's wife, Balkhov and Yorshin, who were fighting over who was the weakest to collect. When suddenly the wife snatched some detached fruit to cover the value of her ksuba and gave the surplus to the Balkhov. Which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if the deceased left detached produce from the ground, kol kodem behen zochem behen, whoever is first to seize it gains possession of it. If they gain more than what was owed to him, hamos, or the surplus is given, according to Rabbi Tarfon, l'koshel shebehen, to the weakest among them, whereas Rabbi Kiva says it's given to the Yorshin since they do not require an oath to collect. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Kiva, seizing is effective when the creditor seized the property during the father's lifetime. Daf Pei Hei. So the Simmer Daf Pei Hei is a dentist. So here goes. Tovia, the wealthy dentist. Dentist? That must be more Daf Pei Hei, mouth. Tovia, the wealthy dentist, who refused to give the shtar to the patient Shaliach, who paid for a cleaning, claiming he still owed money for a filling. Which reminds the Gemara brings a case where the Shaliach pays the debt on behalf of a debtor, but is not given the shtar, as the creditor says that there was another debt owed that was a milva alpeh, and they're keeping the monies for that debt. The Gemara clarifies that if there are no aiding, the creditors are believed based on amigo, and the shliach must pay the debtor because he worsened the situation. So, Tovia, the wealthy dentist, who refused to give the shtar to the patient shliach, who paid for a cleaning, claiming he still owed money for a filling, was about to leave the office to pick up a silver cup he had deposited by another patient who just died, which reminds us, there was a certain person who deposited a silver cup with Chasa, and then Chasa died without leaving any final instructions regarding the property in his possession. The depositor and Chasa's heirs came before Rav Nachman, for the heirs claimed that the cup might have belonged to their father. Rav Nachman said to them, Yadana beba Chasa del Amid. Firstly, I know that Chasa was not wealthy enough to have owned a silver cup, and furthermore, the claimant gave a simon, which proves that the cup is his. So, Tovia, the wealthy dentist, who refused to give the shtar to the patient Shaliach, who paid for a cleaning, claiming he still owed money for a filling, was about to leave the office to pick up a silver cup he had deposited by another patient who just died, when he just heard the news that another patient just bequeathed all of his property to a Tovia. Which reminds, the Gemara discusses a case where a certain man said before his death, Nechsai l'Tovia, my properties are hereby bequeathed to Tovia, but he didn't indicate which Tovia he meant. Alright, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which step do you mean the one who says or writes to his wife, Din Udvarim Ainli Benachasayach, can still eat the produce and inherits the property if she dies? That's on Daf Pei Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which step do you mean that the Yavam is considered the Yavam's wife in that he divorces her with a get and he can remarry her? That's on Daf Pei Beis. Good. Number 3. Which of the one that if a creditor sells a loan document to another and afterwards he forgives the debt is forgiven and the purchaser cannot collect it? That's on Duff. Pei Vav. Good. Number 4. Which Duff do we have a case where the shulich paid a debt but was not given the shtar because the debtor owed a side debt? That's on Duff. Pei Hei. Good. Number 5. Which of the one, what if a debtor does not want to pay a coin to a papa who holds Prius Balchov mitzvah? That's on Duff. Hey, Vav. Good. Number 6. Which step do you mean that if the wife seized possessions of the deceased husband's property and there was a surplus, their surplus is given to the Balchov? That's on Daf Pei Dalet. Good. Number 7. Which step do you mean that we listen to someone who says, Iyibshi betekana so chamim, I do not want to avail myself of the chamim's tekana that was made for his benefit? That's on Daf Pei Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which step be the case of a dying man who bequeathed all his property to a Tovia without specifying which Tovia? That's on Daf Pei. Good. Number 9. Which of the one that one sets of his wife as a chenvanis, or he appointed her as an apotropia, Rabbi Yehazar holds he can impose an oath even on her spindle or dough? That's on Daf Pei Vav. Good. And number 10. Which step do you discuss why the Mishnah listed both the deposit and a loan in the hands of another that are being contested by a wife, a Balchov, and the Yorshin? That's on Daf Pei Dalet. Excellent. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.